All right, we are here. And now it is time for questions. So if any of you want to ask questions, please raise your hand and Daniel will select you.
Hello, Galactus.
Hello.
It's more of a tiny topic than a question, but I've been thinking a lot about humans.
A tiny topic?
Yes, a tiny topic, and about the range of experiences humans have, how you could be super miserable or you could be happy. But I kind of wonder about, you hear about the non-physical world and how non-physical beings can be in a state of divine union and the bliss of divine union. And I'm kind of wondering if that level of happiness, like how close can we get to that when we still have bodies? I'm starting to see that the culture I live in has a very narrow range of how happy they are. And most people, their happiness is kind of tainted with a little bit of worry and fear. If I'm too happy, something bad is going to happen. Oh, you know, if I'm too happy, people will think I'm in la-la land or there's something wrong with me. How far can we go in these scales of bliss and happiness and empowerment and freedom as physical beings?
All right. Very good question. Thank you. And, of course, we're giving this seminar in L.A., so we are in la-la land. But, yes, the collective that you grow up in has a sense of order. And it's a top-down order. It's a hierarchy. And there are people who are the leaders at the top and the followers down below. And there's and at the bottom are like children and animals and below that and the planet and so on. And there's this kind of hierarchy. And so the hierarchy is generally coordinated and organized in order to support those who are on top. Okay, so the happiness of those who are in the middle or at the bottom of the hierarchy are often not really taken into account as far as the general scheme of things. Like, for example, the happiness of a child is very important, perhaps to the mother, and hopefully to the father as well. But the mother and the father may not be top dogs. They may not be up at the 1% or whatever. And so they'll do whatever they can do to get their child happy. But their lives are boundaried by having to work and do stuff, and they may not be able to afford a nanny and or to go on great vacations or to give the child every kind of educational and fun experience possible. So people in the culture generally, and that's from the middle class down, and those who are younger and so on, are generally, have to accept a certain lesser standard of happiness. There is also that potential of the future that some young people have, is that, okay, I may be miserable right now, but in the future I'll be happy. And they think they just keep plugging along, eventually they'll get there. And then you find out that some of the people at the top aren't happy either. Well, what's going on there? You know, they've got this. They've got the leadership, they've got maybe the money, they've got maybe the looks, they may be a celebrity, and here they are having problems with drug addiction and so on. So the question of happiness is kind of hard to address in a society that, in a sense, assumes that life is suffering, and even some religions say that, life is suffering. And you've got to do the best that you can, and you've got to make compromises for your happiness. Like you said, if you're too happy, people look at you like you're really stupid, or oh my gosh, you know, her elevator doesn't go to the top. She doesn't have a full deck, you know? Because if you had a full deck, you'd be serious and know how screwed up this life is. You'd know how painful it is. You know how hard it is and how much struggle it is and how much blah, 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 blah it is. So, of course, in the collective, it's almost a discouragement, a very strong discouragement to being happy, because everybody has to compromise. Everybody has to put up with stuff. Happiness is fleeting. It may be a moment. All right, so then there are those people who don't feel that they fit in or belong to this kind of top-down culture. They want a culture that's more horizontal. They want a culture of more equals. They want a culture of community, of belonging, of love and sharing. This doesn't get the power that the top dogs get. Okay, everything is controlled around money and the corporations, blah, 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 and the media and all that. But there is this huge undercurrent of people seeking happiness in all sorts of ways. And some people go into religion. Some people are spiritual people that don't feel that they connect with a particular religious philosophy. And so they get into New Age spiritual stuff. Everybody's seeking it. Everybody's searching for it. Now, there is a limitation of the physical body, but the limitation of the physical body is not what you think, in a way. It's like to get to that level of, to get to that experience of oneness, and then, which is not physical, it's beyond the physical, to get to that, you have to be at home in the non-physical realms consciously. And no one is encouraged really to go there. Now, mystics are, but how many religious institutions encourage mysticism? Why? Because mystics aren't controlled. They're not controllable because they see beyond, right? So mysticism is pushed to the fringe, it's pushed to the outside. So to get in connection to a mystical community, you end up having to follow some guru, and that may not work for you. But overall, there seems to be social, cultural limitations to what you can experience in your mind, in your consciousness. Now, mind itself goes up four planes, and you've probably heard of the planes as the physical and the astral, and then the causal, and then there's the mental. Now, beyond the mental being the fourth plane, and then beyond the mental, there's this gap. You leave the universe and you go to the fifth plane, which is pure divine energy, all right? And everybody's goal, and your goal, everybody's goal, is to get to that fifth plane, to go beyond mind, to go to where the love, that's where the total unity is. And that's where you sit on the throne of yourself. That's when you acknowledge who you truly are, and you and your higher self are one. Okay? Now, you can get there in moments of extreme ecstasy and bliss. And people have done that. But it only if you have a kind of agreement or contractual arrangement to go there and to experience that and to bring that back with you as a spiritual teacher or as a spiritual leader. Most people can get close to that, but, and it's not the limitation of the physical body, it's the limitation of their capacity for love, okay? Because love gets you there, all right? And if your capacity for love, or you don't have a special boost, mystic boost, you're not going to get there to that oneness. However, you can experience it temporarily, and that's why there's so many people out there taking ayahuasca and LSD and ibogaine and whatever. You know, there's people going to the plant teachers who can take them to altered states and give them freedom from the body for a period of time to go into those higher planes. And of course, as you might expect, the mainstream culture is very dead set against anybody doing that. Because, oh, what if they go out there and then they come back and they see too much, they know too much. They're not controllable anymore, right? Of course, there are also people who go out there, come back, and they're like, and so there's also that, too. We're not going to go on where they are, but that there's a whole different, there's a many different levels there. So what we would suggest to get that level of bliss, that's not the happiness we're talking about. That's more than happiness, okay? That level of bliss and ecstasy is something that if you can touch it once in your lifetime for a second, even for a second, just have a brief, open the window, it closes, and you go, it changes your life forever. So that's one kind of an experience where you can see beyond anything that the physical body could limit you to, right? But happiness, basic happiness, is that you have everything you need. It's that simple. You're happy if you have enough survival. You're happy if you feel good enough to do whatever it is you want to do or need to do. You're happy if you have good friends or somebody to love and care about. You're happy if you have, you know, some kind of meaningful, positive work to do in your life, some purpose. If you have some of those pieces and you acknowledge all of them in one way or another, because some people are always focusing on what they don't have rather than what they do have, and there are some people who say, but I don't have my life, my soulmate, I don't have my soulmate, but they have great friends, beautiful, loving friends. If they could focus on that and experience a love that's there, and then they see that they are surviving financially okay, and they see that their health is good enough, and so on. If they can put all the pieces together, they can experience happiness. So that's why that's such a good question, because if you look at your life in all its different areas, if you have enough in those areas, you don't have to have everything there, but if you have enough so that you can feel the energy of that, feel the energy of the love, if you have enough freedom, just a little freedom, if you have enough empowerment, if you have enough money, if you have enough friendships, if you have enough health, if you have just enough, if you acknowledge it and become grateful for it, you can enter a state of happiness. You see what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We hope that answers it.
Yes, that was a very good answer.
Oh, well, thank you. All right. So who else would like to ask?
Hi, I have a question about this last year and a half, which you mentioned earlier has been a tremendous shift and change. I'm wondering, I'm very sensitive to things. I'm wondering how much stuff is my stuff, and am I capable of feeling other people's things or other energies that are going on? Because sometimes it just seemed a tad overwhelming.
Okay, yes. Feeling everybody's stuff is a bit overwhelming. However, a lot of you, and you're one of them, and others of you who are listening to us now are also in that same category, are part of the kind of harbingers, part of the first waivers. You're moving into this new world, and you're growing and stretching. And if you look around you, you can see that most people you know are not on the path where you are at. You know, you're willing to just keep pushing through. You're willing to feel more, believe more, dream more. You're willing to find a greater sense of freedom, power, love, and happiness, and reliance on the universe. And part of what that entails, and that's for all of you, is that this very question, what is my stuff and what is the collective stuff, is a question you must continue to ask. But here's how you figure it out. Because, you see, when you are getting to this point in your spiritual evolution, what you're processing in yourself, what you're dreaming, what you're imagining, what you're doing, what you're experiencing, is not just your own. You are experiencing the collective with you. You are bringing the collective along. Sometimes you may go through a very frustrating experience, a very difficult experience. You come out of it okay. What you just did something not just for yourself, but you are doing it as a template change for the whole planet. Do you understand that you can do that?
Okay. Yes.
Okay? Where maybe you are not aware of that, but that's part of what you're doing. That when you make the template for yourself, you're doing it for the whole planet as well. And that's part of creating the vibration and the frequency of the new world. And the new world has officially, quote unquote, has officially begun. And that's because you, as the light beings, are dreaming it. You're imagining it. You're putting it together. Now, you may not even know sometimes consciously that you're doing that. So, how do you tell the difference? Well, in a superficial way, you cannot tell the difference, because your experiences and the collective experiences and the growth of the collective and the growth of you individually is happening, in a sense, together, because you're doing it together. But what we would suggest is to you look at your missions in life. Everybody has two missions. The first mission is to know who you are. Okay, and when you know who you are, then you have a sense of your purpose, you have a sense of your value, you have a sense of what you're here for and what you want to do and who you want to be and that kind of thing. And for many of you, in the past couple of years, you have been able to get a glimpse, if not actually step into, this new self. Now, when you step into your new self, essentially you're basically giving a message to the whole world, to the whole collective, because you function on the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious levels all the time. You are multidimensional. You function on all the planes and the dimensions all at the same time. Now, when you make a big leap in growth, changes and shifts your self-image, your perception of yourself. You are changing in your unconscious mind. When you change in your unconscious mind to find out more about who you are and to own the greatness and grandeur and expanse of you, you are also connecting into the collective, which is the unconscious mind. The collective is a habitual momentum and flow that is unconscious but underlies the whole culture. So your personal mission is finding you to be happy, you to be empowered, you to be free, you to be relying on the universe. And when you look at it, your life circumstances, specifically with the question of and looking through the filter of, okay, how is this contributing to me loving myself more? How does this contribute to me being freer to be myself? And how does this contribute, this tension, this stress, this whatever, how is this contributing to be feeling more empowered, to make my own choices, to set my own direction? How does this experience encourage me to trust the universe to support me as I go through it and out the other side? When you go that focus, dear one, that's your personal stuff. But you have to do it through a focus, Because otherwise, if your focus is too broad, then you're doing stuff for the collective that you don't really need to do all that extra stuff. Because doing just your own stuff will also bring the collective along. Okay? Now, there are people who say, but Galexis, I really feel the pain of people and in the planet. I feel pain of people suffering political oppression. I feel the pain of people being deprived of their rights. I feel the pain of people who are ill and suffering, and I feel the pain of the tragedies and violence and that's going on. I feel all these collective things. I feel for the world. I have compassion. I feel for the animals. I feel for the ecosystems. I feel the whole planet. I feel for the suffering, the political pains that are around the planet. All right. Feeling that pain, feeling your love and compassion for the planet, doesn't mean that it's all your stuff. It doesn't mean it's your stuff at all. What your stuff is learning how to feel love and compassion and how to give love and compassion to others, not take on their pain. Now, if you feel that you can metaphysically, spiritually, like a shaman, take on the pain and shift it and give it to the divine, if you feel that you could be a channel for removing pain and giving it to a divine, like some healers can do, then we would suggest you can do that. Otherwise, recognize that the pain of people around you and other people's personal challenges and pain, and this even includes members of your family, are not yours. They're part of the collective. Now, when they're members of your family, your relationship with them may be affected. That's yours. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. But one of the things that's really good about getting this distinction is that when you have this distinction, then you feel clearer. You can feel much more aware. You can be much more aware of what you want and where you want to go and what you want to do. And that clarity is wonderful because then you can channel your motivational force. You can channel your passion. You can channel your enthusiasm and so on very consciously and very deliberately. And then you're not bogged down with the pain of the world on you. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, who is next? Both good questions.
Good answers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for asking good questions. All right. Hello.
Hi, Galexis. I would like to ask a question about timelines.
All right.
In the last year, I've experienced, you know, incontrovertible evidence of how a timeline had changed. Mm-hmm. In one case, two people that had met under inauspicious circumstances, and I was trying to put them together again. And then when I did that, neither person didn't remember that they never had the meeting in this new timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not someone's false memory or that. It was that the literal timeline had shifted.
Yes.
So other than your advice about how to manifest things to choose the ideal, you know, future that you would like, is there any advice you would have about working with these alternate timelines and choosing the optimum timeline?
All right. Well, good question there, too. All right. When you choose your future to visit, which we're going to do very soon, but when you choose that future, you're not exactly setting it up in a timeline yet. What you're doing is you're creating what you might say, an island in the sea of the future. You're creating an island, a specific focal point in the future, holding a certain vibration. And where you are right now, and that place, and then you're going to exchange energy with that place, the exchange of the energy will create a track, will create a pathway between you and that future. And when that happens, then as you see that future as your optimal future, and again, we're not talking about particular formats or particular physical items or things like that. We're talking about state of being. When you see that, you will start moving along this track in that direction. However, there may be times where you may shift and add something or subtract something and move it to a different field of resonance, because a field of resonance is a field of energy. You can imagine it like a giant ball of light, and all the inside the ball of light are just all sorts of sparkles, and every sparkle is a frequency, and every frequency is a concept or a choice, an image, or something of what it is that you want in that future. Now, you may change your mind, and you may say, well, you know, I want this, and what I was seeing before, that sound feels good, but it doesn't turn me on anymore. I don't feel that it belongs in my optimal future. And so you all in your mind kind of remove that, and then the composition of this future then has shifted. It's like continuously on the planet, people are being born and people are dying. So you never have a very long at all any time in which the population on the planet is stable. It's always changing. So the frequency of the planet is always in flux. Timelines are therefore always in flux. You have a timeline that is consistent only because you believe in linearity. And you did that in order to nail down realities so you could feel more secure. We're not trying to get you to give up your linearity. It's very comforting to you. Because if you give up your linearity, you might find yourself shifting around in timelines, like what is mentioned, but feeling disturbed by it. Or you may shift around in timelines, or like the person that you're referring to, not even remembering the previous experience with this person and so on, and being totally in a different space with it, you wouldn't be freaked out at all, because you just simply wouldn't have connection with it. But if you want to be a conscious reality creator, which is kind of what you came here to do, you want to recognize that once you get that track lined up to that optimal future, and then you put something more, even more exciting into that optimal future, maybe something even closer to being physical expression or something more creative, an aspect of yourself you want to add or you want to expand upon, you put that in there and you take some stuff out and so on. Now it's a completely different resonance. Okay. And so when you move the energies back and forth with that one, your track will shift. Whichever way it goes, it'll shift. Now, if you shift like a degree or more, you can have one of these, you know, time loop things. The idea really is, and people really would love to go jump to parallel realities like kaboom, you're not ready for that yet, okay? It's too disorienting. So what you do is that you set up the frequency and you just gradually move your timeline, your life track. You just gradually move it to that future, and then that wonderful future here is a different future from the other one, and you just keep going and making better future, better future, better future. That way you don't have to go through the timeline distortions. You don't have to go through the distortion fields. If you happen, though, to be doing some big leaps and you have one of these ecstatic experiences, you will tend to go through one of those time loops. And if you go through a time loop but you hold a resonance that's very strong of who you are, it doesn't disorient you. Then you can see the magic and you can utilize it and work with it, and you're, you know, an accomplished magician with time. It's coming on the planet for everyone eventually. and you being part of the harbingers, you being part of this first wave expanding into new territory, are going to at times experience strange modulations and distortions of time. And that's totally natural. That's something that you will find. Now, if you have a good sense of yourself, it will not distress you. It will not make you absolutely loopy. Sometimes people who have too great of a leap can get mentally deranged, actually. You know, it's like people who are psychotic can have episodes of being in alternate realities, and schizophrenia is very often a time displacement condition, being in more than one reality at the same time and timings, and so on. And you don't want to have that limit you. You want to be able to work with it as a conscious reality creator, as a magician. And so, therefore, when you observe something like what you have observed, where this person experienced this time loop, you had the awareness of both. You had the awareness of both time tracks. This other person, though, completely lost awareness of one of his time tracks. So, but you were the one who was holding the resonance. You're the one that's holding the consciousness track. So for you to observe this, you could see, oh, look what's happening. There's fluctuations in time. So how do you want to play with that? What do you want to do with that? You have a gift to have been able to witness it and experience the activation of it. So this is going to be exciting for you as a metaphysician. Where do you want to go with that now? All right?
Yes, no, that's great. It did help me. I wanted the optimum situation would have been where they had never met so that there wouldn't be any bad blood. And literally, that's what happens. Both of them had confided to me independently that they don't like that person because of this bad meeting they had. And then the meeting was wiped out of their timeline. And so it was no longer a problem.
Awesome creation, dear one. Magnificent. All right. And you did it because of your love. Okay? That love is going to give you the access to all the dimensions and so on. But that you had love. You wanted the best for these two people. You were able to pull a few cosmic strings, so to speak. Okay? So we congratulate you on that, and you may find yourself being able to utilize that with clients in the future.
Yes, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you for that.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
I wanted to ask something along the nature of, you can clarify for me, sort of a co-creation idea. And two things on that. One, I've been noticing lately, and I especially noticed yesterday on the phone with my son, that we were talking about things, and at a certain point, a lot of ideas were coming through that I didn't really know they were necessarily my ideas. They seemed like my ideas when they came out of my mouth, but sort of I agreed with them, but I hadn't really thought about it before. And so I wonder sometimes where that's could be coming from. I feel like there's more of an opening in me than there used to be, maybe, or something.
Yes.
And the other part of it is science says, now, as far as us, you know, imagining new things and all that, science says that, scientists have found that in your brain, that when you make a decision or a thought or an action, that that it's happened in your brain before you do that. As if, you know, as if, because we're talking about making decisions and changing things, as if it, something else decided. Maybe it's a co-creation. Maybe it's along with spirit or higher self. I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
All right.
How that works.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we were talking to you about this technique that we're going to experience just a short while. And one of the things about that was holding the resonance of the future, that it was a state of being. And this future you is holding this energy for you. Okay? Now, your future self is already holding energy for you. Your higher self is holding energy for you. So you do already have positive frequency energies holding for you. And you have your team. You have your guides. You have your support team and so on for you. Now, one of the things, according to your intention, being that your intention is to grow and to learn and to be more and to become more of the spiritual being that you are, and of course this also happens with everyone, because everyone has a higher self holding a resonance for them. Their higher self may not be paying tremendous attention to them because they might be, you know, in a blotto lifetime. You never know. But still, the thing is that those decisions sometimes are made by the you that is already on a higher frequency. When the you that makes the decision is on a higher frequency, the decision comes down from above, so to speak. The brain then gets it and then translates it, bang, into the physical. You see what we're saying?
Yeah.
So you get the thought after the... it's basically what channeling is.
Yeah.
You know, you get a higher frequency, and then the higher frequency comes, and it does something to the brain, and then all of a sudden, it can come right through the mouth. The ideas just flow right through. That's your intuition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your intuition, and everybody has one, but it's not encouraged in the culture because intuition is a feminine aspect. Intuition and emotion, they're feminine, okay? And how much encouragement do people have for their intuition and their feelings? Not much. You know, not in a corporate culture, right? Especially not when it comes to making money and achieving. Oh, no. We only use those intuitions if it's good hunches on how to make money, right? So society has channeled what is a natural energy for everyone into specific focuses and says this is the okay focuses of it, but the rest of it just ignore. Meanwhile, everybody is getting their intuition. Everybody's getting ideas. They just come right through, and that's why the brain comes on first before it actually can be vocalized. Because when your brain gets it, the gestalt is happening. Because you have to get the gestalt, otherwise you can't make a coherent statement of any sort. You have to get the whole, okay, here's the concept, kaboom. Now you get the concept, now you say something that expresses it. And what's really interesting is that the channel, when she was young, she smoked pot, okay? And she noticed that when she smoked pot, that she would get full-blown concepts, a huge gestalt and perspectives and overviews, cosmic overviews. Oh my gosh! And then try to say something about it. It's like, huh? You know, it's like I just got like a weekend seminar in 1 second. You know, it would take me a weekend to dismantle this and say something and figure out how to express it and so on. No, it's one of those things. But your brain is doing this all the time. Okay, and when you make a decision, when you make a choice, very often that your higher self and you have gotten the gestalt of what it is you need to do, and as you want to express that choice, your brain is getting the gestalt and translating it into language for you.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody does this, but being spiritual, you may find that your ideas have more of a breadth, have more of a spiritual quality to them. But you'll find people who are creative like that, who can have intuitional flows everywhere, in every culture, in every strata of the culture, in every, you know, philosophy and so on, because it's normal for all humans. Okay?
Good, yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Very good. All right, so another one?
Yes, here's another one. Hi, Alexis.
All right, hello.
With the new electromagnetic frequencies and artificial intelligence and the chemical trails and things that are around us, do you think that they are having an effect on our thoughts and putting thoughts into our minds that are not true, like people could be targeted or programs that could be going on?
All right.
Misguiding people.
All right, yes, programs. Yes, this is going on all the time, continuously. And it's using the same mental energetic pathways as advertising on TV and the internet and feeling whether you belong or not in your Facebook group or whatnot. It's the same cultural top-down organization of the collective. But it's being used very deliberately. Like, advertising is very deliberate. They want to motivate you to go get their product and spend money. But these other ones have different motivations. And so their motivation can be as simple as making people weak so that they can't object to anything, or can be controllable, or they can have intentions of doing some scientific experiment with absolutely zero consideration of what it does to people. It's like they did a whole scientific experiment with sonar, and they didn't even give any consideration to how it blew out whales' ears and their vestibular system, which coordinates their balance. You have a vestibular system which coordinates your balance. Sonar would just blast you out too if it was that loud, you know, to you. So they just don't care about the impact of it. So a lot of it is just, oh, this was interesting, let's just do this because this can do that. And who cares? It's collateral damage. No big deal, right? So that's a very uncaring attitude, of course, and that comes from the top of the hierarchy, which, according to the hierarchy, only the people at the top and their decisions have value, and the decisions of people middle way down and to the lower half just don't have any value at whatsoever. Okay, so know that some of it is not deliberately to harm people. It's just playing with reality because they can. This is what took down Atlantis. People were doing weather modulation, genetic experiments, and they just did whatever they did and did, you know, all sorts of experiments and weird stuff and tweaked this and tweaked that just because they could. It was fascinating to them. They felt themselves little gods. And a lot of times you'll find that the billionaires think they're gods. They really do. They seriously think that. You know, because I can do anything I want to. And their egos have not gotten any, their egos haven't brought them down. They didn't bring them down. They've still got their egos there, and they're still like 14 years old. But now they have $1 billion, so they can do whatever they damn well please, and they don't care about what impact it has on anyone else. So when the hierarchy comes down, and that's part of the evolutional direction you're going in, and your government and your culture becomes more horizontal, in which there's more value, you know, in the connections, in the collective, and not top-down, but inclusive, all right? As you're moving towards that, and you want to do that first in your own self, and then you can see it and dream it and imagine it for your culture, then this type of negative crap and poisoning and toxic stuff is going to be called, they're going to be called on their stuff. They're going to be called to say, look at what impact you have. You know, now 5G is coming. 5G already has shown that in places where it's already been rolled out, 5G is very harmful. There are people who just are destroyed by 5G, just cannot function, because it resets their brain in a very bad way, because it's electromagnetic frequencies, right? So EMFs, they can rewire your brain in a very negative way. But does the industry that's doing that, are they doing that deliberately to harm people? No, they're just making money. They're doing that for big money. They just want to be bigger billionaires. And it's all very exciting for them, and you know they're fine with it, because they just don't have any clue the impact they're having, and this is an extreme lack of self-awareness. You as a spiritual being must have a tremendous amount of self-awareness, understanding that you make a difference in everybody's life that you touch. It may be very small, but you make a difference. You have impact, okay? And this is part of owning your value and loving yourself. So that kind of responsibility to what you do is missing in a top-down system. So yes, you'll have to protect yourself the best you can from these types of things. You have to become aware, because you're not going to be told about it. If it's dangerous for you, but it makes big money for a corporation, they're going to make sure you don't hear about that. No, it's fine, it's fine. Have any studies been done? No, but it's fine, it's fine. Right? Have there been any studies? Yeah, but it really validates our point of view. We chose the studies that worked out really well, so it shows it works. So you get all that kind of, stuff. Now, as an empowered person, you need to stop being a victim of this. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you need to reprogram your own self. You need to also protect yourself. You need to claim your reality. You need to create different reality and move towards that reality, and then you will find whatever it is that you need to protect yourself. Whatever you need to heal yourself, it'll be there. But you have to keep aiming towards that healthy place, aiming towards that future, so that it'll pull you to your solutions, to your answers. Do you understand?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So what, one more? Or do we have time for any more?
You have the clock.
Okay. Okay, one more.
Sorry, you went first.
Hi, Alexis. Thank you so much. So grateful to be here today.
All right.
My question is, what would be the best technique or the best way to heal our physical bodies?
The best way to heal your physical body? Well, your physical body is pretty unique. Everybody has a unique physical body. So what would work for your physical body may not work for another person's physical body. Okay, so the way to, like we were just saying in the previous question, the way to find what works best for your particular body is for you to hold an image without any victim consciousness. Okay, no victim consciousness about your body. No insecurity about your body. No judgment about your body. It is a gift from the divine specifically for you. So, for you to find the way to heal your body, and that's for everyone, to find the way to heal your body, you need to envision and imagine what it is going to feel like when your body is really healthy. And when you're in your empowerment, when you're free, when you're loving yourself and valuing yourself, and when you trust that the universe will provide for you. You see how it all keeps going back to the same foundation, right? Mm-hmm. So when you hold those energies, you're holding for a future in which you are healed. as you move towards that future and your life track moves towards the future of healing, then what will pop up magically along the way will be what you need to heal your body. You see? Mm-hmm. And it'd be unique for you. It'll be perfect for you. Now, can you, something like this technique or that protocol or that healing method show up? How do you decide whether it's just right for you? Well, you feel it. You sense it. You learn about it. You hear about it. Okay, so what does it entail? What's about it? What's the idea about it? What is the concept behind that system or that method or whatever? And then you weigh it and say, does that seem to fit with who I am? Is that congruent with my perception of myself? Does that make me feel more free? Would that support my empowerment? Would that support my loving myself and valuing myself? And do I feel that this could be very loving and supportive from the universe for me? And it doesn't matter what protocol it is or what method it is, when you ask those questions, you know, and you feel and sense. Now, if you don't know how to do that, we would recommend two suggestions. One is to put your hand on your belly over your navel. And the reason for that is that a lot of your soul and spirit, as far as your body is concerned, resides around your navel. And when you go there, you're kind of getting in touch with your body. And it's like, okay, body, let's just feel this out and ask and feel, how do you feel there? How do you feel in the belly? Do you have a gut level feeling it's good? Do you have a gut level feeling it's bad? Do you not have a clue? Sometimes the belly doesn't have a clue. If that's true, then learn a little bit more about it. Okay?
Thank you.
At some point, you will learn enough not to know everything. You know, there's no guarantees, of course, about anything. But if you know enough that it seems, that fits somehow. Okay, and body says, that fits okay. Then we'd suggest go ahead with it. Now, a second technique you can use to figure that out, is this healing method good for me? Is this healer good for me? Is this nutritional product good for me? Is to learn how to use a pendulum. A lot of people can do that. Or a self-muscle test. You can muscle test. The channel knows how to do it with using the joint of the elbow, and she can just muscle test herself. And, so you can learn how to get that kind of kinesiology response. You can figure out what works best for you at the time. Now, if you get something that, this is it, and then it turns out really bad, okay, that means that there's something that you are calling in as a challenge, as a test, so that you would, that there's something specific you've got, a way that you've got to respond to it. You've got to respond to it with self-love. You've got to respond to it by claiming more of freedom to be yourself and empowerment to make your choices. You've got to claim that the universe, that somehow or another, it's all going according to plan, and it will turn out well. Do you see what we're saying?
Yeah.
So if you can get into that state, then whatever comes your way, you can feel more secure and more confident that you can make the decisions that you need to do. And everybody needs to do that. You know, it's don't just go for a system because that's what the collective says. You're when you get into the spiritual level, the collective very often doesn't apply to you anymore. What the collective does may not work for you anymore. It's like the channel found out that standard medicine just does not work for her. She got so messed up by standard medicine. And she even got messed up by a chiropractor once. So you'd think, but that's not standard medicine. That's alternative holistic medicine. Well, she can get screwed up that way too. But she had to learn how to sense it and to stay out of victim consciousness. When you're ill or when you have a problem, you got to get out of victim consciousness. You are in charge of your reality. This reality is specifically made for you, and if you hold your resonance, it will work. Okay? All right. Thank you so much, dear one, for asking that. And so...